Good morning. I see we Rios and Gotti's dad here. It's good to see you. So where I'm going with this talk, I'm not quite certain we have this will be appropriate for your dad, but what the heck? There should always be a little father-son conflict to keep there. Penetrating beyond birth and death, setting devices to work, casually shearing iron and cutting nails. Everywhere, covering heaven and earth. Whose practice is this? Uman asked a monk, "Where have you just come from?" The monk said, "Saizen." Uman said, "What are they saying at Saizen these days?" The monk extended his hands, and Uman gave him a slap. The monk said, "I'm still talking." Uman then extended his hands. The monk said nothing. Uman hit him. Isn't it wonderful? See? Taking the tiger's head and the tiger's tail at the same time, that stern majesty extends throughout all regions. At the final question, he didn't know. Ah, but how very, very dangerous. Setchel said, "I've given up a move." Now this is a wonderful koan taken out of the Heikigan Roku. And most of you have seen the name Uman. Some, if you're using the Chinese, it's Yunmen. See, but the great Uman. In the Heikigan Roku, he's cited 18 times. And in the Mumonkan, he's cited 5 times. He's one of the founders of one of the 5 schools of Zen, the Uman school, see, or the Hogen school. And his teaching and his words were appreciated for the depth, see, for the profound depth of his words. See, he's a successor to the great Seppo, and he had 40 successors. And his style was called the Scarlet Banner's Sparkle. This is kind of a Chinese thing. If Mushoku can hear this, see, the Scarlet Banner's Sparkle. See, that's what he is. And he was given the nickname, see, of Uman, the Emperor. And the great Rinzai was given the nickname of the General. And the Soto, the Sozan and Tozan, they were called the peasants. Well, we're ordained as peasant priests, Soto priests, see. And they put a little footnote in there that the Soto was simple and direct, like a peasant, see. I have a Rinzai Roksu that I wear, the only one that I know of that Roshi approved for anyone to wear it. I wear a Rinzai Roksu. And when you flip it over, this particular style, there's nothing on the back. And it's called a Nothing Special Roksu. And when I was given the original Roksu by a Rinzai monk whose family is fairly well known in Rinzai circles in Japan. And he gave me this, and it appears to have been silk and handmade, and it was quite old. I wore it for some years until it just started to sort of unravel. And then Soko made this a replica of it for me. But when I showed Roshi, I said, "Well, Roshi, what should I do? Should I wear this?" He gave this, and Roshi looked at this. He said, "This is a Nothing Special Roksu." And he said, "It'll be appropriate for you to wear it, because you're a Nothing Special monk." I liked that. See, I liked that. I thought that I would avoid a lot of responsibilities, but it didn't work out that way. See. But anyway, this old Uman. And now, for some of the people who don't know, in our tradition here, we have transmission through 3 lines, actually, but if we wanted to, and we think in terms of the Rinzai and the Soto, Maizumi Roshi was, in fact, a genius in this great practice. And here we have the great Uman. And in our line, Maizumi Roshi has. We're through the Inzan line, see, the great line through there, Haku and all of these, see. And through the Soto, through the great Dogen Zenji. And we don't want to be too caught up in that. And eventually, if I'd get to the point where I have the time to work with it and we get the right kind of people here, I want to take out my transmission document and make a new Kechimyaku. that includes both our Rinzai line and our Soto line. And Maizumi, at the time of my transmission, told me that Yasutani said it would be appropriate to do this, and it would be appropriate to do it even for the Jukais. So I would like to redo that. I thought at one point we had a person here who was an artist and started to do a little bit of the work with me. It feels a little funny to bring the documents out. I've only shown that that one document. If you read any of the documents on that Dogen talks about, they're really important documents. They should have been, if a teacher dies who has true, it's called sanmatsu, has true realization and true transmission. See, the documents are either cremated with the teacher, or they're left as a treasure. Roshis have been left as a treasure over there, and I should have taken them. I was told that I could take anything I wanted, but I wouldn't take anything when I left. But I should have taken them. It is a treasure. And Dogen Zenji, when he first saw transmission documents, wept. He openly wept. So I feel a little strange when I bring it out. But this is where we practice. Although we are ordained as Soto priests, all of my registration is through Kirigaiji. Domon is visited. All these people visited Gendo and Ento. Who else in here went? Ryozen went to Kirigaiji. Well, I am a Kirigaiji Shiho holder. And anybody can go to the bureaucracy in Japan. See, and my papers there give legitimacy to all of this. See, and so it's quite wonderful. Quite a wonderful thing. See, we are Soto recognized. And I'm quite certain that it was the hand of Roshi, because he was worried about me if he wasn't here. Because you know that the Roshi standing comes from Takeshi Roshi, who represented Bion Hakujin's line of Soto priests, and recognized and seconded by Yamamoto Roshi, the Dharma brother of Maizumi Roshi in our Rinzai lineage. Which is really quite a nice thing when you think about it. At the time, I didn't think much about it. But it is a wonderful thing. See, two gifts, two hands have been reached over to us. Both our Soto and our Rinzai line. Now, with Umon, I'm going to go through a couple of things, but there's some marvelous dialogues he has with a couple of these Tozan, the founder of the Soto. And at one point, Tozan, remember, people are saying Rinzai, see, the koans, the slashing, fast attack, see, and the slow, sleepy-headed Soto. And all he does when he's encountered with the great Tozan is he bows and leaves. See. But here we have this amazing Umon. See, he studied and first had an opening with Domyo, see, and a successor of Obaku. So he was well-versed, see, in the Rinzai line. Obaku is the teacher of the great Rinzai. So you can say the foundation of Rinzai is to be found with Obaku. So he studied with one of the successors of Obaku. And he had his first enlightenment there. And they said when Muzio heard Yunmon coming, he closed the door. Yunmon, see, Umon. When he heard him coming, he closed the door to his room. Umon knocked on the door. Muzio said, "Who is it?" Umon said, "It's me." Muzhao said, "What do you want?" Isn't it beautiful? Does this sound like Dharma words? See? Umon said, "I'm not clear about my life. I'd like the master to give me some instructions." Muzhao then opened the door and taking a look at Umon, and then closed it. See, Umon knocked on the door in this manner 3 days in a row. Isn't this marvelous? 3 days he went back and went through this routine. On the third day, when Muzhao opened the door, Umon stuck his foot in the doorway. Clunk. See, now we're going to confront this teacher. Clunk. See, Muzhao grabbed Umon and yelled, "Speak! Speak!" When Umon began to speak, Muzhao gave him a shove and said, "Too late." Muzhao then slammed the door, catching and breaking Umon's foot. At that moment, Umon experienced enlightenment. See, you talk about tough. This was the day when they tested you. Now, here we have this man who is so tough. and so dedicated. But isn't his speech and his words, they're quite eloquent. He would never, it's not like myself. You know, I'm pretty crude, not terribly refined. See, what an amazing man he is, and the depth and the profundity of his use of words. See, and the deep appreciation for the dignity of the line. How do you suppose when he sat looking at his monks, fellow students, what kind of eloquence? He said, having entered the Dharma hall for instruction, Master Uman said, today I'm getting caught up in words with you. Shit, ash, piss, fire. These dirty pigs and scabby dogs can't even distinguish good from bad and are making their livings in a shit pit. How would you like this guy? Isn't he marvelous? See? Let me tell you, you must grasp the whole universe, the earth, the three vehicles, 12 divisions of teachings, and the verbal teachings of all the Buddhas of the three realms and all of the masters in the whole empire at once, right on your eyelashes. Even if you're able to understand this here and now, you'd still be a fellow out of luck who is jumping into a shit pit for no reason at all. If anyone like that should ever come by my assembly of patched-robed monks, I'd beat him up till his legs break. Three monks then stepped forth simultaneously and bowed. The master said, a single indictment takes care of all three of you. It's wonderful. See, I told you the one translator that I met in the early years, quite a few of them would come through to work with Roshi. And one of the things he was saying about these old Zen masters that he particularly was offended by is that how they've cleaned up their language. He said, Nyogen, he said, they are so earthy. He said, it's like you dig your hands into good, rich, humus earth. See, with the worms and all of the decay. See, and that, he said, that earthiness. And that's what they're like. And he gave me a couple of examples. I won't use all of the profanity. It offends me personally. But when he says, and he warns you, he said, I'm getting caught up with the words with you. Do you realize what we'll do over words? And remember, words are simply empty sounds. You have to supply the meaning, the content. So if they are dirty words, it's because you have a dirty mind. That's his point, to shock you. See? Because for him, see, there is no dirty, there is no clean. They're amazing, these old Zen masters. See? And this is actually one of his cleaned up talks. See? And also he hit. See? And he came out of a line. They break his foot. See? Great enlightenment. What kind of effort did these people put in to find out what? What's on the tip of your eyelashes? What is it in the introduction to the koan we're looking at today, penetrating beyond birth and death. See, when we get to the end of the line, see, birth and death, to transcend, to go beyond that. Do you believe that you can move beyond this? I'm reading a book again, you know, the people are caught in one side of pupa, but the physics of reincarnation. And it's Omik Goswami. And in that, he's using quantum physics and the models. And for himself, he is verifying and validating, see, reincarnation. And he said, the Tibetan Book of the Dead is right. Now, in there, in some of his diagrams, it reminds me somewhat of what Yasutani does in his, in the Alaya Consciousness. Now, the interesting part, he is a physicist and he is trained in Western physics. He's a materialist to start. And he was, at one point, says that he was sort of offended by all of this and didn't believe in it. See? And consequently, though, I find that you still find that his feet are occasionally stuck in the materialist world. He doesn't quite grasp that there is never going to be any mathematical formulas that are going to talk about in the quantum wave. You cannot say what's in there. See? The laws of mathematics, the laws of physics, see, can apply in any universe? No, they can't, because if you can't conceive of the universe, you can't say what applies. You're still then in the realm of delusion talking to yourself. You have to go beyond that state. What state? You have to go beyond the state of this material body. If you stay stuck in this realm, see, you're stuck in the classical model. See, the separation of body and mind. One of the things that's so difficult, see, it seems to me, for them to make that jump, when the great Basso said, mind is Buddha. See, automatically people start thinking that what's going on between their eyes or between their ears, for some people between their eyes, I suppose, very narrow, see. But the fact is, what's going on in your head, see, what's going on in your head, that's not mind. That's your notion of the delusional mind, that's the ruminating mind, that's the egocentric mind. See, when Basso was saying, mind. This old master says, on the tip of your eyelashes. See? This is mind. This is mind. If you don't see it, and if you see it from a dualistic perspective, if you're experiencing yourself sitting here, oh my God, that's it. No, no, that's you're making stuff up. See, you're in your imagination. You are still trapped in a dualistic world. You are still separate from your body. If you can't see through this, and in a certain sense, and I suspect that I was talking to Mushoku, who has a background in science, see, and it's probably extremely difficult to use physics, the phrases in physics, the formulas of physics. And for me, it takes some time because I have no background in it. So I have to sort of stand there and sort of, I wouldn't call my reasoning brute reasoning. It's more like wimp reasoning. But I try to wimp through it and sort of understand what it is that he's talking about. But I find that he still slips into, although he talks about having to eliminate dualism, the dualistic state of yes against no, right against wrong, enlightenment against delusion. And if you only understand this from an intellectual standpoint, you practice Buji Zen, and that's probably 99% of what goes on in the world today. And maybe mine is the worst Buji Zen. See, I feel so insignificant in front of this amazing thing. See. But remember, when I was working with somebody who wanted to say, but you know, this is in my mind, see? Yeah. And what's more, this is empty. Well, I don't know. Doman, when he was in physics, no, they can't get past. See, this proves it. This proves it. What does this prove? Put an electron microscope on here and find the solid particles for me. Atoms. See, concrete things? No. Theory. You know, when the electron, proton, photon pops up on the meter and they see the blip, see? And they say, now we got it. It came out of the quantum wave into the particle form. They don't know what's there. That barrier, that might be a little cat running around under there, and that's its nose. It bumped up there and swilling that screen. See? They don't know. They can't see it. And to suggest that they do know, I don't care that they can learn how to bomb people. That's sort of the negative side to what they do. Look at the condition of the world today. See, what has that kind of thinking produced? By the way, people like Amit Goswami and some of the other physicists that were involved with some of these things we've been talking about, That's part of what they're saying. Where is the social consciousness? See, where is the compassion? See, where is the concern for the one body? If you don't understand that, see, then you will cause mind to go crazy. And if you don't think you're going crazy, turn on the TV tonight and watch the rationalization for political posturing by both parties. Political posturing. While five soldiers died yesterday. Five, not so important to anybody sitting in this room. Doesn't bother me a bit. Oh, yes. Yeah, Nogan, I'm right. I'm supposed to be compassionate. Yeah, it really bothers me. You're going insane. You had better be backpedaling. You had better be turning the light inward. You had better be trying to find out what is my true nature. What is this that can transcend birth and death? See, if Buddhadharma is correct, and there is just this one body, see, and it is possible to transcend the plane of birth and death, then what's happening to your one body? See, should be thinking carefully about that. Penetrating beyond birth and death. See, this means practicing, doing service, fusatsu, sitting sashin. See, to penetrate beyond. This is the only way that we can do this. You cannot, no matter how fine your mind, see, do it through rational thought. You have to go beyond this. Setting devices to work. See, these, now he's pointing toward this koan, but these setting devices, these are the devices of the old masters. See, we can say that the sutras were a device. We can say the koans are a device. We can say that the words of a teacher, an enlightened teacher, can be transforming. See, they are called turning words. Casual as shearing iron and cutting nails. See, that means snatching away everything that you hold on to. It's always amazing to me, we'll still have people who are spending years and years and years in practice, and they still will come in with the newest scheme. Now I've got the scheme of no scheme. See, that's one of the, I know that place. I'm not making fun of a person. But I know it well. See, have any of you yet worked it out to where your scheme is sitting in emptiness? See, sitting in silence? See, that's all the hallucinations of the delusional mind. These old masters, this is what Maizumi did, would shear off iron and cut through nails. Iron and nail, the stuff that holds this together, all of the crap that I think is so important. See, all of the psychological posturing. See, the rigid, inflexible, intellectual understanding. I know something. You know nothing if you're smart. If you're not, you'll go on knowing lots of stuff. See, until we reach that stage where the light starts to slip away from us. See? But if we can hear it, it's a karma. If we hear it early, see, then we can take care of what it is that we're talking about. It's an amazing kind of thing because the helpers are there, the bodhisattvas are there. There has never been a time when they weren't there to help, to respond. Maizumi Roshi once told me, see, talking about the great Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, yeah, see. And he was telling me that the Sambhogakaya, and that comes up because Omit Goswami was talking about the Sambhogakaya, but Roshi was saying, Nogan, I think you can see this Buddha. But the Sambhogakaya, see, when a physicist can start to use that and feel familiar with it and tell you something about it. And Roshi said, Nyogen, this See, this Buddha, this Sambhogakaya, responds to the true believer's profound belief. If you call, this Sambhogakaya Buddha will respond instantly. But it's not a half measure. See, it means that you have to take the full cup. You want to drop here or there, you want to play. It will produce nothing. See, everywhere covering heaven and earth, whose practice is this? Everywhere covering, it reaches everywhere, this great body of yours. Now he snatches his back. See, but whose practice is it? Oh, were you in your head? Were you drifting off dreaming? Did you think we were talking about something other than here now? See, these are great masters. And here you have one of the sacred rites. This is called a Dharma battle. It's funny, when I was looking at this morning and going through it, I had a wave of appreciation for my relationship with Maizumi Roshi. And I swear to you, I think this is the first time I appreciated some of my encounters with Roshi. Some of these are relatively nice, and the monk coming and attacking, see, is okay, see. But mine was just bloody. It was like a rebellion of peasants, see. And I had sticks and some branches, and Roshi was a fine mechanized 21st century infantry. See, I just walked in and was just and just found myself all over the floor, see, little bloody bits and chunks. See, terrible, see. And I don't know how many times I walked into that. The last time I vowed that I would never do it again. And then the following summer, I did it again. But at least the following summer, I did have this strange sense that I was somehow still intact. And as I went out, I thought, well, I didn't knock anybody over, but also, I'm upright and moving about. I was pretty pleased with that. See, Umon asked a monk, where have you come from? See, this is beautiful, this Umon. Monk shows up. Where have you come from? This is a probing question. A probing question. This isn't just a casual conversation. He now is testing the monk. He says, where have you come from? And the monk said, Saizen. Wonderful. If you can begin to see it, if you get very still, realize that this is not just idle chitter-chat. And this is what we work with a koan. It isn't to be understood from an intellectual perspective. It means nothing to say that he's here with a probing pole, this Umon. And there is a reason that monk is there. He has come to test. You don't just casually, accidentally find yourself standing in front of an Umon. You are there by design. And you know immediately that you're dealing with something other than just the usual dilettante meshing around the edges. Do you know where that comes from? For me, at least, that dilettante messing around the edges. When I was climbing, and I was up in the Bay Area, there was a climbing store where Gosh and I would go over and to pick up. And they had, for their rock shoes, they had a nice little plaque there. And it said, if you wear these particular rock shoes, he said, when they pick you up at the base of the rock, they'll know that you were a serious climber and not just another dilettante moving around the guardrail. The monk says, Saizen. He answered, as things are. Be very much like saying, see, Gendo comes in. I said, where are you from? He says, oh, I just got in from Northridge. See, but now, what's happening here with this monk? Has he made a statement, as it is, this is where I have come from? Or is he now setting his own trap, See, is he moving into guile? See, now he's squared off. They're starting to circle each other, watching very carefully. Where are you from? Hollywood. Oh, is he enlightened? Is he there? Is he pouncing to take down this old master? Uman said, what are they saying at Saizan these days? Do you see that they are specific to the point, to the task at hand? He's sizing up this monk, and he's keeping his focus directed right to where this monk is. So you're from Saizan. What are they saying at Saizan these days? See? What is he asking him? See? He wants to know, did you get his teaching? Bring it out and show me. See? Bring it out and show me. See? The monk extended his hands. You know what Hawkwind said? Aha. He said, this is a tough guy. This, now they've joined, see. If you think in swordsmen, see, the feint, the first click, see, touching, knowing what the distance is, see. Then they start their movement, see. And finally, see, Uman says to him, what did you get there? And that's when he attacks. Yeah, he comes at that point. See the beauty of the dance. See, in he comes, see, puts his arm out. He's attacked, see. And Uman slapped him. Pow! Woo! See, immediately establishing the difference between black and white. See, that is Uman. See, what would you do? What would you do? See, you jump in. See, and he slaps you. He doesn't show any respect, just throws you down. Now, how would you respond? Where are you in this Dharma dance with this old master? What are they doing? Can you see what they're doing? Have you got caught in trying to understand? If you try to understand, you can't do this dance. This monk said, I'm still talking. See? I think Tenkei Denson said, this is the action of a Zenist accustomed to battle. See, he's been there before. Does he have it? Is he enlightened? Can you see? I'm still talking. Hit me if you like. How would most of us have responded? Can you imagine? Can you even imagine opening your mouth to Uman? See, knowing his reputation, knowing that he hit, knowing that he would just shred you in front of the audience, see? You make your lunge, and he parries and slaps you. Just, my God. What would you think? See, the difference, that slap. See, do you think this is just casually him slapping him? This is a master swordsman. And his whole being is that of a teacher. Remember up here, casually shearing iron and cutting nails. See, sticks out his hands. Where is the monk? What is he stuck in? Pop! See? Cutting nails. See? Shearing. Ripping away. Can you see it? See the beauty of it. But like Tenkei Denson said, ah, this monk, see, you see what is happening. Whop! I'm still talking. See? He's still on his feet. Probably cut, staggering back, see, been hit, see. He's aware that he's been hit, see. I'm still talking, see. And Uman extends his hands. The monk said nothing, stood there, see. And Uman hit him, whop! See, do you see the dance? Speak up, speak up. When Uman extended his hands, is it the same or different? When you work this koan, you have to see it. Is it the same or is it different? And the difference here is the difference between delusion and enlightenment. It is the difference between knowing and not knowing. And be very careful which side of knowing and not knowing you find yourself standing. See, I will suggest to you that the great Uman does not know. That's why he's such a beautiful swordsman. He can spin and turn on the point of a pin. Whop! See, the monk is stunned, stands there. What a beautiful thing, see. And then Uman hit him again. See? And at this point he's saying, I don't approve. Tenkei Denshin has a nice thing. He says here, the royal, remember this is emperor, the royal law of Uman is strict. See? Violate it and you pay the penalty instantly. Now we don't know, they don't tell us who this monk is. But I will assure you that this monk will come back time and time again and will continuously go up against this old Uman. And we don't know, he may have gone on to be one of those 40 great successors. And when we hear of a great Uman slapping like this, this is not to belittle, to ridicule, to put down, but this is to cut, to shear, to tear away, see. It's to drive him, see, into the place that penetrates through birth and death. And the hit, much like the slamming on the foot, breaking it. See. What is the state of mind? What is the condition? When we work a koan like this, see this beautiful, beautiful Dharma battle. See, you have to become the monk. See, you have to know when he comes in, what is it and why is it that he's there? He didn't come to the great Uman for casual conversation. To be to the point in his practice, the maturity, that level, where he will come after one of the greatest. Think about it. Think about it. See, you're either blind arrogance, and there are those kind who stumble around. I've seen them come around clowning, pretending. One of the great times for me, some of you have heard this story, but it was a very moving story. Some of you haven't. Roshi was holding Shosan, which would be closer to what they did here. This wouldn't have been in a Doksan room. It would have been in a public format. See, where Roshi was sitting at the head of the Zendo, and then you could come and ask questions. See? And I remember at the time I was so terrified that this practice wasn't real, that it was just like all of the other things that I had tried. See, another well, another dry well, that there was no delivery on the promises made. And I was terrified of science, ripping apart anything that was spiritual. And it was really going on, putting it down, see. And there had been an article or a book or something written by some kind of a monk who had said that enlightenment is a joke. And I didn't even want to hear that sentence. Enlightenment is a joke. I can't tell, I mean, literally, viscerally, it almost made me sick. Because the fear was that that's true. Oh, God, what am I doing here? And at that time, I don't know what I'd been practicing, maybe 3 years. I mean, I was an old-timer, long time, see. I considered I'd been here all these years. I'd put all this time in, see, just to realize that, again, that it was not real. And in this room right now, how many of you really don't believe it? That's the interesting part. The most amazing, cherished treasure that you can experience, but you're unwilling to come to grips with yourself. See, unwilling to leave that, his words, that shit pit. Blame Uman, not me. See. So I can't tell you, my stomach just crashed when I heard these words in the Zendo directed at Maizumi Roshi. See, and at that time I wasn't aware of what sat there. See, and literally I still can feel it, the rush. I didn't want to hear. If I could just get out of here, panicked, see. And I didn't, as I say, have an appreciation for what was sitting there. And Roshi didn't waver. This guy came up, crashed down, and he says, such and such monk says, enlightenment is a joke. What do you say? There's a challenge. See? And Roshi just brushed him away. He wasn't even an annoying fly. Roshi said, is suffering a joke? He said, when you can make a joke of suffering, then enlightenment's a joke. But if you've ever been around Roshi, he had that amazing capacity to dance on his feet. He was a master fighter. Uman hit him. The royal law of Uman is strict. The verse, Secho says, taking the tiger's head and the tiger's tail at the same time. Now here again, see, nobody's belittling. This was a tiger who came in. See, Hakuin Zenji, when he talked, said, this is a tough guy. Did he measure up? He did not measure up to Uman's expectation yet, but there was no belittling. This monk was being tested. He was being formed. He was being shaped in the fire, see, of Uman's Zen. He was taken up on the anvil, see, and crashed, see, with the club, see, of Uman. Forging a steel blade. What an amazing, amazing journey this monk was in. So he says here, how did this old master handling the amazing skill? He takes a tiger. Many of them would have fallen under this attack. See? But he takes the tiger's head and he holds him down and he pins his tail down. Can't move. Hold both. See, not even moving. See, someplace somebody said the head of a tiger, the tail of a fish. See? Not yet there. But Secho says, the tiger's head and the tiger's tail. And he said, the stern majesty extends throughout all regions. The stern. See, this is a loving father. It gives this son the most difficult path to walk. See, I think in terms of my own relationship with Maizumi Roshi. As I told you, and it's absolutely the truth, I never knew whether or not Roshi liked me. See, and never gave me anything but his fist. And sometimes when I'd come back battered, see, and Soko, and I sit there and say, wow, I don't understand what that was all about. She said, you don't understand, see, that Roshi trusts you that much. See, and in the Zen way, they talk about the different kinds of students. See, there's the student that dabbles. They drop by, they want to chit-chat, they then drift away. See, they have just casually dropped in because it's very good at a cocktail party. See, I was over at the Zen Center, and you know what I heard the teacher say? It's amazing, my relationship with the teacher. And let me tell you, that goes down. I can remember after Roshi's death, there were so many people who had very special relationships. Doman actually had a nice response. Somebody was that we all know was giving a talk and made some statement about a very special relationship. and saying, oh yes, Nyogen has one, and Doman's response was, yes, it was called transmission. You remember that? If you didn't have transmission, you didn't have a spatial relationship. See, that was your fantasy. But anyway, there are that kind of a student, and that's where probably the bulk of the students fall into. Then there's the student comes in and they dabble, and they dabble to this extent. They sit, they take jukai and all that, and they really want to have sort of an experience. They want to change their lives, see, and they do all of their work, you know, and it's good, see, it's good. But you have to be very careful with them, because they're easily offended. Their feelings are hurt. So we have to be delicate. We have to be gentle with them. And they need to be propped up. Somebody said something that hurt my feelings. And instead of saying, well, get over it, this is a place where we drop the ego. Oh, I have to say that this Gendo is rude. He insulted you, yes. Oh, I'm so sorry for him. There's nothing I can do for him. The man, his tongue just flaps, 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 flaps. Poor. See? There's that kind of a student. Then you have the pretty committed ones. They put some time in, see? And they become offended, finally, when you don't really recognize and give them that final nod. See? We've seen those. And they'll work hard. And they'll persevere. And they will take the blow. And they will appear to accept it in gracious form, proving that you can drop ego, until they get downstairs in the room. Then they bitch and moan about that dirty bastard teacher. I only talk like that because of Uman. See, I feel that he opened the gates, see, of avarice to me. See, and then they have the final kind, and they say that this is the student that the teacher can kill in these tracks. And the student falls, gets up, and comes forward. And the teacher can kill it again. And it falls, gets up, and comes forward. And see, that literally is the student that I was. I just had to come forward. I had no choice. Today I understand that. See, that kind of a student you can't make. A lot of karma there. See? A lot of karma there. See? And if you can see each time that you go down, see, and you get up lighter. See? The scarring, see, starts to take place. See? And you begin to wear the badges of a battler. You ever see, Mushoku's gotten to watching The Ultimate Fighters with me. And there is the one Silva, what's his name? It's the perfect fighter's head. His nose has been broken so many times, and his ears are just like two cauliflowers here, and this marvelous scar tissue, and this is one tough guy, see? But he carries his badge of honor. It's his head, see? And that's the same thing here, see? And so in a certain sense, I appreciated what Soko said to me. She said, Roshi trusts you that much. See? And when I was reading this koan today, it struck me. Wow, where I am today, I am so grateful to him. Because I actually can stand up unaided. And that was his last killing doksan to me. And that was my response to him. Your teaching has taken with me, Roshi, my last dialogue with thee. See, I cover the ground where I stand. That's the beauty of this dance. If you're involved as just a casual traveler, you will not appreciate what this is about. See, if you think this monk lost anything, he lost any standing in the eyes of the great Uman. Not at all. Uman would simply step back and very cautiously watching him. So you'd see him pushing the sword back and see, watching him, because that's a tiger. And if you're not careful with a tiger, see, if you hide that blade, he'll be on your throat again. See, in one of the beautiful stories that I koans that I did with Roshi, and to watch Roshi do a koan was absolutely gorgeous, to become so involved with the koan. And I did the koan with it, and Roshi then all of a sudden started to show me the koan. He brought the koan out alive. And in it he says, "Oh, Nogen, look at this young tiger." He said, "Oh, a teacher yearns for that kind of a young tiger." And I don't know whether it was Rinzai and Obaku or Tokusan and one of his great ones. See, Yaku. See, I don't know which one it was. I don't remember. But Roshi said, in comes the, he says, "Can you see him?" And then he started to show me, see, this young tiger and the muscles. And Roshi, when he opened his mouth and those canines glistening, see, fully matured, white, see, not aged at all, in his prime, see, muscles, see, and he attacks. See, and when Roshi in that room and attacks, see, and he said, "Look at this old grandma lion." And Roshi just claps, see, "Look at this, no teeth, blah, blah, blah." And Roshi had the, you could see the floppy lips on this old mama tiger, see, blah, blah, blah. So it doesn't even show the claws, and just bats him. Just bats him, rolls him over. See, his old mama. See, and he comes up fighting again. See, and this is the koan. Comes up fighting again. See, and his old mama. See, boom. And I look up, and tears are running out of Roshi's eyes. See, that's koan practice. Not acquiring merit badges. This is Dharma battle. This is the beauty of this form of practice. And this is what the verse says, taking the tiger's head and the tiger's tail at the same time. The stern majesty extends throughout all regions. This is the firm teacher, the firm parent. See, teaching this young student, see, how to walk, see, on this most amazing path. At the final question, he didn't know. See, there was the danger. That final question. He didn't know. See, that was the killing blow of Wok. See, stay there. And then Secho says, "I've given up a move." See, and he says, "That move is yours. What will you do with it?"